We understand your struggles as a father.
I know.
Not directly. Obviously, both of us only have fur children who
I just put mine in a cage.
I can put mine in a cage and nobody calls like CPS on me.
I wish. Sometimes I wish. Sometimes, I mean, you know, to a some degree.
He'll never listen to this. It's fine.
He'll never listen to this. Let's be real, guys.
I hope he does at some point.
I know. Just kidding. I love that kid. Anyways.
Real quick. I did see a great meme that was like, you know you're over the age of 30 when you focus more on alcohol percentage than the flavor of the beer. And I sent it to Kendra, and I'm like, this is so true. And she's like, yeah, but they're referring to the other way.
Yeah, that's true. When you go into a brewery and you say, just give me the highest ABV stuff you got.
And I'm the opposite.
Yes. Welcome to Scotch and Splenda, guys, the podcast that tastes like The Office and get you drunk like having to do counseling with your arch nemesis.
Being raised by wolves.
Here on Scotch and Splenda, we're talking about anything and everything. Most importantly, theories, side stories, and what ifs. We are your co-regional managers. I'm AJ.
I'm BJ.
I am Nick.
And on this episode, we are taking you all the way through season 7, episode 2 of the Superfan episodes. So we're continuing the trend, guys.
Point, point, point.
I don't have that button. Damn.
I don't have a button for that. I wish I did, though.
I know, me too. But no,
we're the episode where the sex worker is the protagonist. No, that can't be right.
That can't be right.
I want to hear you tell it.
You tell it better. Big mistake. Huge. This episode's got a lot of meat to it, guys. I am very excited to kind of like dive in.
Yeah, it's got good stuff.
So first and foremost, guys, we got to give you that quick reminder. We're taking you through these super fan episodes. The new release is the season 7. We really do appreciate you guys listening to the show. If you are listening, most people who listen to podcasts, they don't actually hit subscribe on the podcast that they're listening to, even if they're listening regularly. So guys, do us a solid. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure that you are following along. Hit the download button. And by all means, feel free to leave us a review. You can leave us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or you can write us a review as well. Leave us a fan theory. We love diving into your fan theories just the same. Please feel free to get us on the old social medias. At Scotch Splenda, no ampersand, no and, just at Scotch Splenda anywhere on social media. And guys, last but not least, we got a voicemail. You can always call in, leave us a voicemail. That number is
319-359-7977.
I couldn't have gaga-gooed it myself any better, Nicholas. But coolest thing, guys, right now, we've got, speaking of reviews and theories and whatnot, we do have one that came in via Apple Podcast. Nick, what do we got, dude?
Sure do. We got a little bit of one here from a lady or gentleman named Blind Guy McSqueezy.
Blind Guy McSqueezy.
I'm going to assume what I want from that. But it says, super fun podcast, 5 stars for what it's worth. 5 stars, an important note. Super fun podcast. I binged every episode in a couple of weeks. My fan theory is that The Office takes place in the DC universe. We now have some supporting evidence. Would you like to hear?
Please and thank you.
Yep.
In the episode, Take Your Daughter to Work Day, Stanley's daughter asks Ryan if he's ever been to the coffee shop Jitters, which is a chain in The Flash. Also in that same episode, Dwight corrects Michael that Batman is in Gotham, not Superman. And Jim says Aquaman lives in the ocean.
Yep. Okay.
In the episode, The Negotiation, Dwight says the real heroes are the guys who go to work at their normal jobs, get a call from the commissioner, take off their glasses, change into capes, and fly around fighting crime, referring to Superman or Batman. Andy proves Harvey Dent correct that you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
I love that.
Spot on.
And finally, in the comic book Nightwing number 105, Nightwing runs through an office building and right past several people who look exactly like the employees of Dunder Mifflin.
Okay.
So full disclosure, I did get a chance to look at this, like read it ahead of time.
Yeah.
That being said, I went and I looked up the comic book and I looked up the pages.
Yeah.
It is The Office 100%.
I'm gonna pull it up.
You guys,
give me your best Joe Rogan. Jamie, pull that up.
Jamie, pull that. Jamie, pull it up. Oh my God, did you see?
You have it on.
See, there's an episode.
Hear the clicky keyboard.
There is a comic book, Nightwing, and it mixes in the characters from the off. Jamie, pull that up.
Oh my God, it is 100%. It is
100%.
Holy shit!
There is literally like a full on, like a full page of this. Of them running through this office, and like they go past like, and I think Pam, like the one that looks like Pam, even gives kind of like a wink to like Nightwing.
Yeah. Oh yes, this is definitely them. Hold on, I'm sending it right now.
You gotta pull that up
so you can check this out. Yeah, that's definitely members of The Office.
100%.
I'm definitely in from that aspect. This is pretty hard to argue.
That when I pulled that up, when I looked at the mag, like, or the comic book,
yeah,
it made me want to go and just buy the comic book.
Yeah, so that we've got it,
so we can just have it, and like maybe even if I could just get the pages that they're that they're on, and then I would just frame that up.
Okay, ones that you can point out and see easily here. We got Jim, Kelly, Dwight, Phyllis, Stanley, Angela, Meredith, Kevin.
Yep.
Karen, Ryan.
Oh my God.
Daryl.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's them for sure.
It's not even arguable.
It's like, not.
It's 1,000% them.
Like he.
Jim's even got his sleeves rolled up.
I know.
Yeah. He's just missing a name tag that says Big Tuna to really drive it home.
The only thing that, like, he. Blind Guy McSqueezy had some great points all the way up to this. And then he was like, you know what? Let's just put this final nail in the coffin and let's just drive the stake right through the heart of this idea.
He buried the lead all the way to the end there.
Yeah.
He's like, here's some good supporting points. Here's some good supporting points. And then also, here is the actual smoking gun of evidence.
Yeah. Do you mind if I show you the fingerprints on the smoking gun?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm in on that.
Yeah, that's... That's pretty awesome. Blind Guy McSqueezy, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. Again, if we could just get those pages torn from that comic book universe and into our universe, our ethos, that'd be wonderful. So I'm all about it. I'm all about it, guys.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Blind Guy McSqueezy,
for
dropping this in.
Sure.
Oh, this is locked in. I'm sorry. I moved right past that. That's my fault.
This is irrefutable.
Yeah. Like, I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
This is less him going, I have a fan theory, and more, hey, did you guys want to see this neat bit of trivia?
Right.
Yeah. I screenshotted that. I'm going to post it on Instagram when this airs.
I can't
Outstanding.
Wait. I cannot wait. Blind Guy McSqueezy, thank you for bringing that to our attention and into our ethos.
Thank you so much for the 5-star review as well.
Yeah, much appreciated, guys. That's how you do it. Bring us some solid gold inside of your review, your theories, what have you. That's the money maker, the money shaker right there. 5 stars on top is just that extra cherry. Oh, love it.
I don't have a cherry in this drink, but I am thirsty.
Yeah, me too. Samesies. I would love to start drinking.
Please and thank you.
You know, we're doing kind of a basic one here today, guys. Today we have Maker's Mark, just the OG original Maker's Mark.
Well, you got to understand the basics, I feel like, if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to call yourself some sort of connoisseur.
Yeah, and I'm I actually poured the rest of my bottle in this glass and chucked it out. So I don't have the bottle in front of me. That was silly. Sorry.
Oh. It's a 90 proof.
Yeah, it's it is a standard 90 proof.
Okay.
All right. I can tell from this chicken scratch on this bottle here.
Yep, there you go.
Gorgeous.
Okay, so just pulling it up quick. You know, it is Maker's Mark is a weeded bourbon, which I think all three of us love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the baseline nose is sweetness right away. According to them, you get notes of vanilla, caramel, brown sugar, and even a bit of strawberry. Now, I have an interesting flavor that I always get from Makers. I'm curious if you guys do, but let's take a sip.
Okay. It smells pleasant.
It's like it's like you're sitting on a brand new deck and it just lightly starts to rain and you get a nice oaky, light oak smell.
All right. Jesus, Bob Ross.
All right.
Just painting me a goddamn picture I want to live in.
Just trying to paint it out for you.
It
is a what they call a thinner bourbon, which I always agree with. Like, I think this one gets really watery when you ice it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Agreed.
I do have mine neat just for reference.
Yep.
It's good, though. Little story on some Maker's Mark. Maker's Mark was the first, when I attended a college party when I was probably still in high school, I think. I think I went up to visit my brother Bob.
Whoa, cool guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was still in high school.
Cool guy alert.
Dude, she's
in high school.
College, damn, college chick, man. Yeah, hanging out with college chicks. We're bound to get some.
You watched far too much American Pie. Girl.
American Pie. This one. Suck me, beautiful. We were hanging out in their apartment, and like this was. It might be one of the worst things that you really can like overdo it on is cans of Miller High Life. And Maker's Mark shots of
champagne of beers.
Oh,
you're just a pup. Like you shouldn't even be drinking Maker's Mark.
No, you shouldn't be. They had a bottle of Maker's Mark there, and they pulled the wax seal and everything. And that bottle was gone before the end of the evening, and I probably partook in a good share of it. That next morning, I was trying to pretend I was not hungover. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Yep.
It's incredible you weren't more of a whiskey guy.
I know.
After such a great start with it.
It's probably what did it to me. Like what staved me off for like so long of like actually liking or enjoying whiskey.
So I get on the nose here and call me crazy maybe, but you get almost like a, it's like a candy corny type smell to it. Yeah,
close. I mean, someone wouldn't say super close, I guess, but like you're heading in the right direction.
Do you get like butterscotch?
A little bit, but for some reason, and it's after I drink it, I swallow it, and then it sits on the back of my tongue. I get a little banana Laffy Taffy.
Mm. Oh my gosh. I was trying to put my finger on it.
Yeah, it's like a banana Laffy Taffy.
It's like a banana Laffy Taffy, or like the banana Runts. That's what I kept going after.
It's not like real banana. It's like a candied banana.
But you're right. It's not real banana. But Laffy Taffy is more on point than the Runts. Yes.
Yeah. Right there at the end.
That's funny.
Which is wild to me because I love a Maker's Mark and I hate banana Laffy Taffy.
Oh, same. Yeah. It's my least favorite Laffy Taffy for sure.
Do you think
it's like if I went trick or treating and someone gave me banana Laffy Taffy's black licorice?
We're egging that house.
Oh, big time! Like, what are those awful Mike and Ike originals that are horrible?
Oh, the Good and Plenty's.
Yeah, I'll have.
My dad fucking loves.
They're awful, and I want none.
I feel like if you made it
Good and Plenty's, Bad and Scarce would be a better name.
I feel like if you made it to Andy's house too late on trick or treat, he would have eaten all the good Laffy Taffy's, and there was only bananas left.
Yeah.
And Erin would be there saying like, oh, I like the banana ones because she's a weirdo. She's a rube. Yeah.
Her and Dwayne like the banana Laffy Taffy.
A bit of a rube.
A little bit of, kind of a rube.
That's my girlfriend.
Okay, I apologize. But the other, like, who in the office would like a banana Laffy Taffy?
Kevin's not picky.
Not picky. I feel like Angela would like them because they aren't too much, you know.
Yeah,
I feel like Pam would like them because she likes bananas.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Maybe.
It strikes me as something that like a Kelly would enjoy.
Yeah, or like a, I feel like if you follow the non-picky trend, then you've got like Creed.
Yeah.
But then he
would think he's eating an apple.
Correct. But then at the same point, like there'd be a point where, oh, I thought we were talking about something else. Like thinking it was like a marijuana strain or something.
Creed would. Yeah. Creed would definitely.
I haven't had that since 1968.
Yeah. I haven't had that since the Grateful Dead show outside Portland in the 70s.
I could have swore you couldn't get it anymore.
Yeah. Thought they did away with it when they did away with Quaaludes.
Ludes.
That's Creed Bratton energy.
Oh, man. Good stuff, though. You know, I have no problems with like a good maker's mark. I will tell you, I think, guys, I may end up coming back around. When I was on vacation, my dad is a huge Wild Turkey 101 fan.
Oh, yeah. Boy. That was one of the first things we talked about when I got into whiskey.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
And and we sat and watched. He showed me Ted Lasso, and we drank Maker's, or I'm sorry, 101 on the rocks. With big ice cubes. So,
while you were on vacation?
While I was on vacation.
Oh, what a great time.
I mean, come on.
What a good bonding experience. But so, that's a headache waiting to happen if you're not careful.
Yeah.
I know. I felt pretty good the next days.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, we grew up. Okay, so we grew up, and 101 used to be like the peak, right? Anything above 101, you'd call like, you'd round up and call it Everclear.
Right.
You know? Yeah, for the most part.
And now craft bourbon is such a big deal. Like barrel bourbon doesn't even get below 123.
I think
is their lowest, you know? Maybe 119 is their lowest. And now 101 is like the norm. And bottled and bond is one of the most like highly hunted, you know, styles of bourbon. And those are 100 proof. They're all exactly 100 proof. They have to be part of the deal.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's different. But I think also the difference is when the first time you drink Wild Turkey 101, you're 19 years old, have no drinking experience, and you drink way too much of it mixed with Coke.
Yeah. Well, that sounds more like my Maker's Mark experience.
Yeah.
So maybe this is what set me on the path to accept the 101. It's like, you know what? Why not? I'll make a weird family tradition out of that. Pass that one down to Harrison. So unconsciously. So
give him a couple years. So we're here to talk about what?
The Office.
Yeah.
Specifically Counseling, Season 7, Episode 2, Super Fan Edition.
Season 7, Episode 2. Fan
Edition. I really, really like this episode. I think it's well put together, start to finish, and the extended cut is so good. I mean, I got a couple little nuggets in here that we can talk about, but if you want to start, Nick, I mean, you know, talk us through the cold open.
Yeah, so you come in right off the bat, and Jim and Pam are late coming into the office, and Dwight remarks that they've been late every day this week. It's because they've got Cece at a daycare that's like all the way across town because it's the only one that they could get her into. So Dwight has the brilliant idea of, well, of course, we have this unutilized free real estate going on downstairs. Why don't we turn that into the Sesame Avenue? What is it? The Sesame Avenue Daycare Center for Children or something to that effect? Infants and Toddlers.
Infants and Toddlers.
Toddlers. Yeah, for infants and toddlers. Complete with, you know, he gives them the tour. You walk in right off the bat. You're met with Mose, who is painting in the dark, wearing a baby Bjorn and a fake baby inside of it, which is excellent. you get his pretty classic welcome children.
Yep. Do you know, fun fact, of all the Moe's scenes and all the Moe's interactions, season 7 episode 2 is the second time Moe speaks in the show.
Is that
right? Oh, really?
When he says that, the only other time he actually speaks,
bye, Ryan,
is before this is, yeah, yeah. Bye, Ryan. He seems nice.
He seems nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there is, I'm not counting deleted scenes in some other episodes before, okay, yeah, like the traditional watch through.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the second time. And then he's got another speaking line at, what was it? Garden Party, season 8.
Yep. You have to give me your car.
Yep.
Yeah. I like when he's interviewing for junior sales associate later on too.
Yeah. I do really like this cold open, with them coming in and like, all the random stuff that's down in this daycare, quote, yeah, unquote, like the yep, one ball on the rack or something, and then yes, the chest thing filled with sporks. Oh, and the soy sauce. It's like I'm so sorry. I don't know how they got in there. I'm ashamed.
My favorite is the buckets.
Don't beat yourself.
That he
up.
Shows them, which are like all identical and right next to each other, and they're like a feeding trough, a play bucket, a restroom, and room for a plant in success. Yep. They're all like right next to each other and the exact same bucket.
Correct.
I like that nobody. And so when asked the obvious question, which is who watches the children, Dwight says, no one watches them. It locks from the outside. Escape is impossible.
Yeah.
Which Dwight, okay. I mean, Jim has to test for sure.
Yep, 100%. And the final touch of him turning the lights off.
Yeah.
Yep. This is amazing.
There's
not much extended wise in that. I mean, that's a pretty solid cold. I mean, there's just like a little bit more of everything, like comments, you know, but not a ton more there.
We would be remiss if we did not comment on the poster. Did you guys recognize the poster on the wall?
I saw the printed out fun, but I think I must have missed the poster. What is it?
It's a poster of Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
Crossed out
with Insane, it sharpied out,
and Posse, and it just says clown on it.
Clown. Yeah. Outstanding.
Oh, what a good touch.
He's like, I promise you that door, that locks. From the
I promise you that door locked.
They won't get out. It's like, well, I'll tell you right now, if this goes well, looking really good.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a little bit more of Dwight screaming from inside the room as Jim and Pam walk away.
And
a little bit more of
them outside the door too, I think. Yeah. It's a really solid cold open as far as these later seasons go. When we finally like get right into it though, we kind of go right into like Toby prepping for for counseling, right?
You go like right into it. The opening shot is like
it's him
Toby
moving
staring
furniture
at Michael, and then that gif of Michael that is used a million times by different people.
Yes.
Of him just staring with this sort of quick zoom on his face.
Yes.
And he's like, Toby's like really excited.
He is so stoked.
Like, and he shows his college degree where he's got like a master in counseling, master of the counseling.
I have
arts.
A degree in social.
And I think his diploma says master of the counseling arts.
The counseling.
Yeah.
and that was just printed out online, you know?
Yeah. University of Phoenix.
But really, this episode kind of has almost two A stories, and almost you could almost say Michael and Toby might be the A-minus story.
Yeah.
Because the Dwight storyline in this of the revenge.
You think it takes over?
I almost think it does.
I do think so.
It's like watching two separate episodes.
That's a good point. I feel like they get about equal camera time. They do call the B story, you know, of them getting Dwight ready to go and Pretty Woman this store.
Beautiful girl.
Beautiful girl. Pretty girl. Woman. It's like, well, you tell it. But I would also say then, and you kind of have the, this is also like the C storyline though, right? With Pam.
Yeah.
And convincing everyone to sign off and I mean, for not being like adamant about sales, boy, she sells this well.
Oh, mm-hmm. She knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right.
Well, and part of me wonders if that's not on purpose. Like, if that's not sort of the joke of the whole thing is like that she was terrible at sales until it comes to the point where she has to sell 12 different people in the office on her being office administrator.
100%.
The two things that helped her. One, she knows everyone in the office super well.
Yeah.
Except absolutely. For Gabe at this point, right?
Correct.
Two, the counseling completely distracted her two biggest other opponents of this.
Correct.
Michael and Toby.
And Toby, yeah.
Because in the extended cut, well, in the original one, you know, she walks in, she's like, so Michael, a couple of months back, I was talking with corporate, and he just signs it. So then after that, in the extended cut, she goes back into Toby and's like, you know, Toby, a couple of months ago, I was talking to corporate, and he takes it and does the exact same
thing. Does the exact same thing. Yeah.
And the extended cut, you see that. And it's like, those out of everybody were the two biggest, because like Toby would have been the one where it was like, well, I probably would have been involved in, you know, one of these conversations, you know, who did you talk to? Do you remember
name? You're the only office administrator of any branch in the company.
I still have all the old contacts for corporate. I'll just call that person you talk to and get them to, you know, like he would have been a little more analytical. Plus it would have given him an opportunity to hang out and talk to Pam, which he would have taken advantage of.
Kendall and I have
our croquet club on Sundays.
Yeah.
I'll ask him about it.
He totally would have played this out longer, like just so he could like have more FaceTime with Pam. Had this counseling not been going on and like breaking both him and Michael.
Yeah.
And she smartly, kind of out of coincidence, I guess, but I think it was well played that she convinces Oscar it's true first and then goes over and convinces Angela and the three of them together.
Yeah.
You know, because Angela probably gets frustrated with like, oh, we're out of post-it notes again. Aaron forgot to order post-it notes again. It's like, Pam could have just been like, you know, there's so much room for improvement and, you know, efficiencies around here. And I'm taking over all that because I bet you when Pam was a receptionist, she was essentially the office administrator, right?
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
She probably did amazing at it.
Yeah.
Yep. And Angela knows that. So she's just like, oh, thank God Pam's taking ordering supplies over again. Okay, I'll sign off on it. You know, she does the cat suck up thing and and all that as well. And then everybody else, Meredith doesn't care.
Meredith is easy.
Regardless.
Like, you know, literally and figuratively. And then...
And like, you cut to her and Meredith, and she's just hip thrusting as Meredith is laughing.
Yeah.
In a little montage. She's just working every person exactly the way she needs to.
The only other person she would have had to convince would have been, well, Daryl. She would have convinced Daryl.
Yeah. Sorry, Nick, I didn't want this to be overlooked.
That's what she said.
Just needed that in there.
Okay. but wouldn't she also need Dwight as head of sales?
I thought Jim is head of sales.
Yeah, I thought
Jim at this point, Jim's number two, right?
Jim is the number two.
So then I guess he could have signed off on it. He would have technically been head of sales. Okay, fair enough. Yep.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, who else? That's about it, right, Kelly? Like, that was an easy one, too, because she doesn't care.
I mean,
she just wants to talk about Gossip Girl or whatever.
Going through, like, it was an easy distraction, like, casual thing to have this, like, signed off on. And it's that final moment, though, with Gabe that it's like a hand of poker.
Yeah.
The first thing you learn when
watching World Poker Tour at 3 a.m. is you play the opponent, not the cards.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is, I mean, it's so spot on because, like, she does not give in. It's like, so I can't find anything about you being office administrator. So weird. Yeah. And so I don't want to accuse you of anything, but I just want things
spineless.
To be. I know.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say it. What are you saying? I don't want to say it. But if you could just admit it. And we could just go back to doing, say it. Say I'm not the office administrator or say I have the job.
Say I'm lying.
Say I'm lying.
Say I have the job.
I don't want to accuse you of anything. Yeah. And it's like, so okay, well then if you need anything that, like an office administrator could provide, let me know. Oh, he comes, can I get one of those little.
Immediately fold.
Name plackets.
For
Gabe List.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Get it ordered for you right away. So moving back into the annex, you know,
yeah,
right. I guess let's talk about the counseling side of this episode, because okay, obviously that
it's a big, yeah, through a big story. Part.
You know, one of the lines that got cut, but it's in the extended one, is Michael. He's telling a story about, you know, it's, I think it's pre-Wolf story, but post, obviously, the beginning. And he says, I'm dreaming that I'm being chased by a monster, and I'm running and running and running and running, and he's gaining ground, and I finally get to my door, and I open it, and then I wake up, and then I look down, and I'm covered in mud, and my shoes are on. And then it cuts to him outside of the office, and he's just like, good luck sleeping tonight, Toby.
Like, pretty spooky just, story, yeah, right?
I thought it was just the scariest story.
Yeah, he like he even tells him, he's like, pretty spooky story, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's just so, he's so satisfied with himself.
He's so pleased
in that
with
moment of like, God, I fucking nailed that.
Oh, that's,
oh my God, he's quaking in his boots.
Here's a tiny little tidbit in the extended cut that I loved. It, because at the end of the day, like, Toby ends up winning. He gets Michael to open up, and then Michael figures out that he's actually opening up.
Yeah.
And has a meltdown, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, God, but it's so good.
In the extended cut, they're playing that game. And Michael starts to talk about his stepdad and the baseball game, and he was really proud of the manager, and
yeah,
you know,
right,
the manager made the right move, and he was really proud of the man, you know. And that's you learning that Michael wanted to have Jeff be proud of him, so he wanted to be the manager, you know.
Right.
And there's an extra little line that Toby has in the extended cut where he actually plays the winning tile, like, to win, end the game. And he, and like, Michael's distracted, and he said, do you mind if I take my move back? And
yes,
he takes it back and replays it so he doesn't win, so he can keep the game going.
Yes. It's what kind of genius.
That's a great little touch.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sad.
That's not something I caught. I caught the, can I take that move back, but didn't realize it was because he had won the game.
Yeah.
Well, I did a rewind on that. This. That circle, whatever you want to call them, tile.
It was that setup in Connect Four, so that no matter where Michael goes next, he has a winning move.
It was the cross.
Yeah.
So, like, if Michael went here to block, he would go here to win. If he went here to block, he'd go here to win. It was going to be the I won no matter what, and correct, he took that back, and he played on the side.
Yes. And I can't believe that they cut that, you know? And I think that this might be... this might be something we get some opinions going on of, like, why would they cut that? You know, it's a small thing. It's approximately an extra 3 to 5 seconds that they decided to cut out of this. Did they want to cut it out so that way there's no, is it, is
qualities
it
like, for Toby? Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it like a redemption quality thing, or is it like a bonding thing of Toby trying to be understanding? They don't want to give that like any credit towards that. Like, what do you think?
Part of me thinks that they did it as to not ruin like the comedic effect of Michael like melting down.
Yeah.
Because other than that, you don't really have like, you have like a small amount of payoff where Toby makes just sort of like a quick glance to the camera of like, oh, he's opening up about his stepdad at the baseball game or whatever. But beyond that, they don't really acknowledge it until they get to the point where like, Toby is like trying to push a little bit more, and then Michael freaks out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it from too shallow of a perspective, but that's probably where my head is at, is that they were just like, well, I think this moment is funnier if we take this out.
Sure.
Yeah. And then he has the dog, you know, where he was too scared to go to the park.
Yeah.
Because he was afraid his dog was going to be there. Yeah. And he's like, you know,
dogs don't do that, right?
That's in the normal one. And then in the extended one, after Michael's freak out and he leaves, he goes over to the accounting group and he asks their opinion about specifically that question. He goes over to the desk. He starts talking to them about, you know, do you guys like dogs? Dogs wouldn't do, you know, wouldn't be mean to people, right? And then he looks at Oscar and he's like, you probably had a Chihuahua as a kid. Was he a good dog to you? And Oscar's just like, why would you say that? Like,
Michael's like, two reasons.
Yeah.
Moving on.
But it's just like, you could tell it like it got to him. You know, it's even more of, and maybe that's why they cut the, let's get rid of this, the move. And then they cut that out because it was proving that Toby was actually doing good at his job for once.
He was getting through to Michael.
Yeah. We have talked in ends on this podcast about how bad Toby is at HR.
Right.
Yeah.
That's 100% true. Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to keep that flow.
That's a good
point. On that note of like the conversation with accounting, Kevin's weird, like disproportionate freak out a little bit there is really funny, the way he just like kills the conversation.
Yeah, he's the one that ends it. And then it cuts to a talking head where he's like, I just didn't want to talk about dogs at that time. He's like, maybe some other time I'll want to talk about dogs, but I just didn't want to talk about dogs. Like, yeah.
But he's like, none of us had dogs. Let it go. like Jesus Christ.
Well, and then you have like their coloring.
Real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Was Kevin's freak out on him about dogs, like even putting Michael down more because Michael was looking for like, you know,
support.
Validation about, yeah. When and you were a kid and you had a dog and none of them can commiserate because none of them did.
And then on the flip side, it goes so south that he gets yelled at about dogs.
Yeah.
And bullied about dogs when he was going over there to feel good about dogs.
Just absolutely backfires.
That's good.
So, and then you also saw that moment when they're drawing. And I think, he's coloring like the guys from accounting? And he's like, why is Angela bigger than Kevin or something like, or taller than
taller, taller, yeah, than, taller. Yeah. Is it Oscar? Like, or anything, whatever.
Oh yeah. I guess I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah, I wonder why you
must
think
just
that.
Feel that way.
I just feel that way.
Eyes to camera a little bit.
Right. Yeah. He kind of looks
like that's,
he's so excited that he's cocky. Getting through. Yeah, he does. He kind of gets that cocky Toby thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I got him.
Yeah.
All right. Just to move this along, you guys want to jump over and talk about the Dwight storyline?
We have to.
Yeah.
So this is not in the extended cut, but I would be remiss to not say it because it is my favorite Aaron line of the entire series, which is in this episode.
Okay.
And it's, I love disposable cameras, even though they seem kind of wasteful. If you have something important you want to remember, I recommend getting a real camera, but I don't care if I forget today.
And you never get to see your pictures. That's so Aaron that she like doesn't understand the concept of a disposable camera.
Yeah.
She knows that it's a camera that you take pictures with and eventually it gets thrown away.
Right.
But doesn't realize there's a middleman step in there where you have to get the photos developed.
It's literally disposable, like and throw away in every literal sense. And
that's such a good Aaron. Ism.
Well, it's a great joke, man. It's a very, very well written joke, and it's very well executed.
Yeah. So all of our listeners are obviously have seen the episode. So basically, they're gonna Pretty Woman the wizard store.
Yeah, yeah.
And
precious heirlooms.
Yep, they're precious heirlooms.
This has some of my favorite stuff that did get cut out. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So one quick thing I caught that got cut in from the original that's in the super fan is, you know, when they're he's standing up by reception and they're like, and Ryan's like, I don't like the glasses. And then he takes them off and smashes them. And everyone's like, actually, I like them. He's like, I can't see.
I can't see.
Yeah.
One of the other ones is Meredith says, you need to cut your fingernails. And he says, how am I going to pick food out of my teeth?
That's right.
Gross.
And Jim says, maybe just don't do that.
Maybe just don't.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, Dwight, did you call my clients at the Steamtown Mall and cancel all our business with them? Yes. And I'm going to do the same for all of you. Don't do that. He's just calling.
No, you are not.
I
am.
And so
they're corrupt.
I do like that, you know, no one can tell the Pretty Woman story without somebody else interjecting and like cutting in to make that story happen. Like, Andy has to cut off Dwight, and then Kelly has to cut off Andy. Like, it's like an ongoing thing. I think it's funny. I do think it's funny, but it's not like real ha ha funny to me.
It's clever.
It's very clever that they do keep it running, I suppose. But honestly, this has one of my favorite Dwight freakouts when they finally get there. And he cannot compose himself to like fully understand and comprehend like why they did this to him.
It was beet juice, sir.
It was beet juice.
I'm a beet farmer.
I'm good, sir. I'm okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, good sir.
As I was saying, I'm gonna just cry.
And then, yeah, before they get there, they're like, okay, well, we're gonna eat lunch after we do the wizard thing. Like, and Andy's like, you guys really don't want to eat lunch with me, and it's the same place. Like, and Jim's like, this is like, kind of the best part of, you know, a food. Everyone can just get what they want, and then he's like, well,
the only
we all have
steal
to
this Mongolian place.
Yeah, well, we all have to get the same dessert.
Same dessert, right?
And he's like,
revenge.
One, two, three, and then Dwight's like, revenge. That was good.
Yeah. Ice cream. Revenge.
Revenge. Yeah. Yeah. And then Dwight also says revenge is like borscht, a dish best served lukewarm.
Lukewarm.
Yikes.
So they get in there can't talk too much because some of this is in office trivia, but
okay.
Or in the office Olympics. We find out in the extended cut that he actually didn't even want the wizard at all. He only wanted the crystal.
That is the biggest thing. The crystal wizard. They're talking about this crystal wizard the whole time, right?
Yeah.
And Jim is like, now, you know, you can't go in there and buy that, right? He's like, well, but he's like, I can go back and get it for you later, but you can't buy that right now. He's like, okay. And that's in the normal cut. But then he does go back and he says, I'll take the wizard. He's like, very good, sir. And they walk out, and he walks out with the pewter wizard with the crystal. And he's just him prying this crystal.
Tiny marble.
It looks like a marble.
It's a marble.
It's like a marble. And he's like, why would I want some? And I love this because this is what we were all thinking, and we've gotten some of these moments from Dwight before, but the fact that it's like, yeah, it's like that thing is like kind of silly. Like you would see that at a gas station.
So tacky.
Yeah, he's like,
so tacky.
He's like, I just wanted it for the crystal. It's a pewter wizard, not a crystal wizard. And he just spikes that thing onto the floor and shatters that wizard, that pewter wizard. He's like, I just wanted it for the crystal.
But that explains why when Jim says this crystal wizard, he says, it's a pewter wizard. Holding a crystal.
Yeah.
Like you think I would want some stupid-ass pewter wizard? It's like, so afterwards, tacky. It just changes the tone completely. It's not like...
And he smashes it.
Yeah.
Just destroys the thing. And it is... I mean, he's going at that thing with his teeth. He's trying his damnedest to just pry that thing off, and he finally gets it and just tosses that wizard. When it's in a shop like that, you have to imagine, like, what do you think this thing was? Like, maybe like a couple hundred bucks?
Probably 150 bucks.
Yep. Yeah. I was thinking somewhere between 100 and 200 bucks.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you're just like, and he did that to spike it on in front of the escalator and just have this crystal. Like, I wonder
how many of those they had to make.
I know.
Like,
well, and then
to smash in case they had to do scene after scene.
And what a mess of razor sharp pewter shards everywhere all over the floor.
For as great as this episode, you know, really is, I thought it was important to note that this episode it was written by BJ Novak.
Yeah. Himself.
And I thought that was pretty funny. You know, we don't get a ton of him really in this episode. And I feel like if BJ Novak like had some, like, you know, his writing chops were like coming along even in these like later seasons. I don't know. But I thought it was worth noting because as much as I dislike Ryan in these later episodes, I'm glad that BJ Novak is doing a good writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing great, PJ. So
thank you.
I like every now and then
I need it.
When I think of Ryan in this episode, I do think of him being like sort of your closer of the Talking Heads, where he's trying to give them like several different polls that they can use. And he's like, he's like, I think psychiatrists are even crazier than their parents.
Or narcissists.
Yeah. Therapy is a narcissism machine.
Yeah.
Earth, you don't have to be crazy to live here, but it helps.
It helps.
I don't know. Just use the best one.
Just use any of those. Yeah. God.
All right. That was season 7, episode 2, Superfan edition.
Superfans, we're rolling through, baby.
Now it's time for my favorite part of the show.
Oh, yes.
It's Office Olympics time. It's where I make up a game. I make AJ and Nick play it. Basically, I say dance. They say,
how high?
I say jump. They say,
on who?
On who?
Hell on yeah. As always, Office Olympics is brought to you by Forefathers. Make sure you check out their website. It's golf season right around the corner. But even if it's not golf season for you, you're not a golfer, you're probably still a dad. Or you like nice, comfortable polos. So I wore them all winter, guys.
They got hoodies, too.
And they got hoodies.
Totes.
But what I do is, see, I put them underneath for like a nice color pop. And then I put kind of like a quarter zip over it. And so you can see the color pop underneath. And then you got a nice, you know, it's very, it's a thing. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the sales uniform for sure. It's a bold colored polo under a neutral colored quarter zip with khakis or slacks.
Yep.
So check them out. Support them. They support us. And as always, here we go.
Let's do it.
AJ got to start last week, I believe. So Nick is going to start. This is SATs round 3.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
So if you remember from the previous SATs, both of you guys get to answer the question at the same time, but you got to kind of write it down or type it on your phone or however you want to do it.
Okay. Yeah.
And then once you guys say you have your answer, then we reveal and you get the point. Okay.
Okay.
It is multiple choice because the answers are so hard.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's the difference between the SATs and regular trivia. These are much harder questions, so you get a multiple choice answer.
Gotcha. Okay.
So all I really need from you guys is A, B, C, or D.
Yep.
And we're going to start. Like I said, Nick could start first, but really you guys go together the whole time on this. Sorry, Nick, you'll start next week.
No, I'll go. I'll just go fuck myself.
I even purposely listened to the first episode on podcast so I could be like, all right, I feel like I let AJ start every week. I got to make sure I'm being fair. Well, now it's going to be both you guys. So question.
Well.
Question one. What game do Toby and Michael play together? A, Connect 4. B, Align 4. C, 4 not 3. Or D, 4 in a row.
Okay.
A, Connect 4. B, Align 4. C, 4 not 3. That's 4, comma, not 3. Or D, 4 in a row.
I have my answer. Like, are we going to be going through one through all? Are we going to go through all the questions first and then reveal answers, or are we going
No, we'll reveal them as we go.
Okay, cool.
So somehow you guys can't cheat or whatever. So it doesn't matter, I guess. Nick, what'd you get? What'd you put?
I had put D because it felt like a trick question.
D is 4 in a row. Okay, yeah. AJ, what'd you put?
I put Connect 4.
Connect 4 is A. The correct answer is D, 4 in a row. It's an off.
I figured they probably didn't have the licensing rights.
Son of a bitch.
Once you gave several options, I was like, oh god, it must be one of those like frosty O's type of situation.
Yeah, it's they do have the box in the background so you can see it's not a Connect 4. They probably did that on purpose as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it says 4 in a row.
The trickery is afoot. All right.
Yep.
Noted.
That's why earlier when you're like, I was like, they're playing that game, and you're like, Connect 4, and then in my head, I'm like,
these fucking idiots.
Wrong.
Idiots.
Plebes.
Hit the idiot stinger.
Idiot.
Oh.
Idiot.
There it is. Okay, let's go ahead.
Okay, gets harder.
Oh, boy. That's what she said.
Question 2.
That's what she said.
Sam goes over to convince Angela in accounting that she is the office administrator. She has a bunch of cats on the partition between Angela and Kevin's desk. What color is the cat closest to Oscar?
Jesus.
A, gray, B, orange, C, black, D, white. Gray, orange, black, or white. Fun fact, all four of these colors are on the partition, but which one is closest to Oscar? Got your guess?
Okay.
This is obviously a guess. Y'all don't know it.
No, no fucking idea.
All right.
For some reason, I oddly feel like it's orange.
Nick?
I said C for black cat.
Nope, it's gray.
Biscuits.
Piss ass.
Gray. No points. Question three.
Farts.
This one is interesting. Okay.
Okay.
So this is in, I noticed it after, because I watched this episode like, I don't know, 46 times. In an apparent decision from the creators and the designers of the show, Jim and Andy look completely out of place at the wizard shop. What color is everyone there wearing, including Dwight, the workers, the walls, and all of the tapestry? What color is it? Jim and Andy are the only two not wearing this color. Is it A, blue, B, red, C, purple, or D, green?
Got it.
I think I know it.
Blue, I think, red, purple, or green?
All right. I think I've got it.
All right, Nick, what do you think?
I said C, purple.
AJ?
I also said C, purple.
Correct. So even the walls of the place are purple.
I just remember because the salesperson is in all black except for like a purple tie, which is really strange.
Right. And then the lady worker behind him is in a purple dress, and
Dwight's got the ascot.
Because of the royal thing.
Oh, the vest. That's right.
The vest. Yep. The purple vest.
Yeah. You're right.
Somebody makes a comment.
The walls and all the decoration, everything in there is purple besides Jim and Andy. They stick out like sore thumbs against the backdrop.
Someone makes like a comment about wearing purple, I think, to Dwight even. In the extended cut, I think. Anyways, go ahead.
Well, that's in the next episode, but we'll get there.
All right, fine.
Okay. When Pam and Jim walk into the Sesame Avenue daycare for infants and toddlers, and they see Mo, Jim screams, "What giant two letters are the only two letters you can see next to Mo's? Is it A, F, U, B, U, C, C, I, C, or D, E, Z?" There's two giant letters next to him. It's the only two letters you can see. It's an unmissable frame if you are looking for it. But it's, so it. Going back through A, F, U, B, U, C, C, I, C, or D, E, Z, like easy.
Okay.
AJ?
I have F-U.
I also said F-U. A.
Correct.
Nice.
And he's spelling out fun.
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 Because he puts fun. I spoiled that one earlier. Sorry, folks.
Two huge letters. It's Mo's F-U.
Were you just like, God damn it, every time we mention something like this throughout the podcast today?
A little bit. Well, it's kind of fun because then I don't know. You're like, all right, you guys. You guys knew.
It's like,
you know
what? See if they remember.
Hope you paid attention.
Yeah.
Okay. When Oscar goes into the kitchen to talk to Pam about the office administrator job, Pam is making tea, and she tells him when she got the job and how much money she was going to make. 41.5 is where she lands. What kind of tea is she making?
Oh, fuck.
A, lemon ginger. B, peppermint. C, lavender. Or D, English breakfast. Lemon ginger, peppermint, lavender, English breakfast.
Okay.
Nick?
I put English breakfast.
AJ?
I also put English breakfast.
It is peppermint.
Fuck!
And it's, I don't know when this episode aired, but it's very Christmas. That's why it stuck out to me. It's like a Christmas peppermint.
Got it.
Okay.
Like must have been a leftover from Christmas.
Okay.
The previous year.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. This is an extended cut only scene.
Okay.
Who gave Dwight the pipe for his fancy outfit, and where was it from? Oscar had it and got it from Europe. Meredith had it and she found it in her favorite pawn shop. Aaron had it from a costume store, from a costume she wore. or D is Creed had it and he found it in a museum.
I got it.
Oscar Europe, Meredith Pawn Shop, Aaron Costume Store, Creed Museum. AJ?
It's Creed Museum.
Nick?
Creed. He says it belong. Take care of this. It belonged to a museum.
Yep. He stole it from a museum. Yeah. That's correct.
Not it belonged to a museum. It belongs to a museum.
Yep. All right. This one will be easy too, I think. Andy really wants everyone to eat at the same food in the food court. What does he want them all to eat? A Mongolian, B Chinese, C Hibachi, or D Thai? Nick?
Got it. It's Mongolian.
Yeah, it is Mongolian.
Yep, correct. This one's a little tougher.
I was paying attention for once in this episode.
Who's winning points wise? I have not been keeping track.
I'm up by one.
Nick is up.
Okay. I thought Nick was up by one.
I've been marking as we go with check marks for who's got what.
Okay, cool. Final question.
Hit me.
When they're eating, sorry, that was the last question. Let me scroll down here. When they're entering the wizard shop, Andy says, "You know your lines, right?" And Dwight says, "Yeah, they are messing with A, the wrong farm boy, B, the wrong beat boy, C, the wrong root boy, or D, the wrong soil boy." A, the wrong farm boy, B, the wrong beat boy, C, the wrong root boy, or D, the wrong soil boy.
Got it.
AJ.
They're messing with, I want to say that it's farm boy.
A. Okay. A.
It is farm boy. It's A.
Correct. Yep, okay. They're messing with the wrong farm boy.
Damn, we did pretty well. There's only two questions on there that nobody got out of those eight.
That was
nice. Yeah. Well, congratulations, Nick. You are the winner of Office Olympics this
week. Hey!
Good job.
Feels good, baby. Going to Disney World.
Yeah, I guess.
Not true.
That's fine.
So expensive.
Well,
so many Disney adults.
Solid Office Olympics.
Thank you, Beej.
Congrats, Nick. And thank you, Beej, as always, for bringing us some fun entertainment at the end of our episode. Guys, we appreciate you tagging along and helping us through as we go through Season 7, Episode 2, and on to Episode 3 of the Superfan episodes that were recently released on Peacock. Make sure you guys, if you're following along, give us a follow, guys. Make sure you follow. Make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. And make sure that you drop us a review as well on Apple Podcasts. If you're not going to leave 5 stars, leave us a review, guys. Drop us a fan theory. Make sure you get at us on social media. It is at Scotch Splenda. Just at Scotch Splenda. Find us on social media. And by all means, guys, drop us a voicemail. That number is
319-359-7977.
Boom. Make sure you guys call in, leave us a voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just drop us your fan theory or tell us how much you love us or hate us. Apparently that's a thing you can do. So make sure you guys are following along, because next week we are going to be coming out with Season 7, Episode 3, continuing this little strategy of ours. Until next time, guys, we will catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Goodbye.